Our scripture today is from the Gospel of Mark, and we'll be reading all of chapter 13. It's a little bit long, but I hope you will bear with me. And as the passage says at the end, keep awake. As he came out of the temple, he being Jesus, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I'm he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginnings of the birth pangs. As for yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings because of me as a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. But when you see the desolating sacrilege set up where it ought not to be, let the reader understand. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one on the housetop must not go down or enter the house to take anything away. The one in the field must not turn back to get a coat. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not come in winter, for in those days there will be suffering such as not been from the beginning of creation that God created until now, and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short these days, no one would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he has cut short those days. If anyone says to you at the time, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. False messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be alert. I have already told you everything. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake.
Well, the world has changed. Something is broken loose. For years, our civilization has been in a stuck place. I've talked about it before from this pulpit. Decisive movement in any direction, positive or negative, has felt impossible. With the invasion of Ukraine by the Russian Federation, all that changed over the course of a week. The transatlantic alliance, NATO, stands far more united than anyone expected. The West has imposed enormous economic sanctions that threaten to collapse the Russian economy and cut the Russian people off from much of the world. Meanwhile, the United States and its allies are pouring billions of dollars into high-tech weaponry, small arms, and material into Ukraine, and also providing extensive intelligence and cyber warfare support. What I'm trying to say is things are really kind of coming together for us here. In the face of Russian aggression, the West is standing tall, right on the edge of the abyss. As you know, I'm telling you things you know. The Russian president has explicitly threatened nuclear warfare as a possible response to Western interference in the Ukraine war. And he placed Russia's nuclear forces on what he called heightened alert. And people have been trying to figure out what that means. And from what I can tell, it's mostly a legal distinction. Apparently in Russia, unlike in the United States, in normal times, the president can't just launch nuclear weapons just because he says so. But when you're on heightened alert, the president can. So that's what that means. So for the first time in a long time, real change seems possible. But it's not necessarily the kind of change we want. For the first time in generations, nuclear Armageddon seems like a real possibility. The apocalypse is feeling really close. Do you think this could be the end of the world? In our reading this morning, Jesus speaks to his disciples about the apocalyptic times that are coming. The commentator, Ched Myers, whose commentary Binding the Strong Man I highly recommend, he calls this passage, Mark 13, most of it, Jesus' second sermon on revolutionary patience. Jesus is preparing the disciples for the end of the world as they know it, and for the totally new order that's going to emerge. So now's a good time to engage with this passage, because the world as we know it seems to be ending. And we're anxious to know what it is that might be emerging. The bad news is, Jesus says that even he doesn't know exactly how things are going to go down. He says, but about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So you know you're dealing with some serious mystery when Jesus says, yeah, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that. Check with my dad. Do you think this could be the end of the world? It's interesting because Jesus' sermon is full frontal apocalyptic. He's talking about the wrapping up of history, the revealing of the fullness of the kingdom of God. He's talking about what some people call the end times, the culmination, the victory of God over the forces of darkness and death, the total transformation of life on earth. So when will this happen, Jesus? The disciples ask. How are we going to know? Don't know, says Jesus. We're going to have to wait and see. That resonates with me. Because we don't know what if there's going to be a third world war between the West and Russia. We're going to have to wait and see. We don't know if nuclear annihilation is in our future. We're going to have to wait and see. We don't know if this geopolitical transformation that's playing out right now will ultimately lead our planet in a better or a worse direction. We're going to have to wait and see. And waiting is hard. And it raises the question, what do we do while we're waiting? Now, Jesus does have an answer for that question. He says, be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. Stay awake, keep your eyes open. Don't retreat into escapism or easy answers. Don't join the warring parties who are vying for your allegiance. Stay awake. See what's really happening and listen for God, for what God is up to. Now, in our day, as we watch these upheavals playing out on the global stage, we have favorites. We live in the United States and we want to see our country prosper. We believe in democracy and we want to see freedom triumph over despotism. We're against war, especially against wars of aggression. We have preferences, and those preferences are not arbitrary. They're deeply rooted in both our interests and our values. But Jesus reminds us that our ultimate allegiance is to the kingdom of God, and not to the kingdoms of this world, even the kingdoms that we have sympathy with. Some of the main players in Jesus' day, some of the main camps that you might be sympathetic with if you were Jesus' first disciples, the Roman occupiers, probably no one was sympathetic with them. The religious establishment, the priests, Pharisees. And there were insurrectionists, zealots. And a great temptation of the church, both then and now, is to pick a side that seems most in line with our present understanding of God's will, and then to become partisans of that camp. And even joining that camp to make war on the other camps. And that's normal, that's understandable, that's human. Because we like to be in control. We like to feel like we have a sense of what's happening. We don't like to feel vulnerable. And what could be more vulnerable than having Jesus tell us, I don't know what's going to happen. I can only tell you it's going to be really hard, involve a lot of pain and sacrifice. What's coming will likely ruin your life. But those who endure to the end will be saved. Not a great pitch, Jesus. In this sermon, Jesus reminds us that participating in the kingdom of God means giving up control and security as the world understands it. He reminds us that no matter where our sympathies lie, no matter which cause or country or ideology we prefer, our loyalty has to be given fully to God. Even if that ends up making everyone treat us like enemies, we have to stay true to God's vision. This is crucial because God's plans are different from the plans of the kingdoms of this world. God's vision cuts to the root of all the issues that we face today. Because all the kingdoms of this world, even the ones we like, At the end of the day, they accept the domination system as a given. That some people are going to have boots and other people are going to have faces to be stepped on. But God's kingdom turns the world upside down. The Zealots wanted to set up a Jewish kingdom rather than a Roman one. But Jesus calls the church to abandon the model of human kingship altogether, to fully embrace the direct leadership of God. The kingdom of God means absolute dependence on God for everything. It means admitting that we can't remake the world in our own image. This is the great American addiction, by the way. We can't impose peace and love and justice through sheer force of will, and certainly not through military might. At the center of the kingdom of God is a crucified Savior who died so that we could live and surrendered his will so that the Father's will could be fully expressed in his body. It's hard, and maybe it doesn't sound like good news, but the essential message for us this morning is that we don't fully understand what God is up to right now. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know if everything's going to be okay. In fact, we have reason to believe that things are going to be very hard. But the good news of Jesus is that there's a day coming. A day when God will set things right. There's a day coming when Jesus will reign in glory and justice. There's a day coming when we'll all be set free. And in the meantime, our calling is to stay awake, to bear the cross with Jesus, to be instruments of God's love to a world that's ripping itself apart and that quite possibly wants to rip us apart too. That's what it means to stand with Jesus, to live in the kingdom of God. It means bearing the despair and the pain of the world, staying awake and sober in the midst of a drunken and disorderly generation that's lost its way and its senses. Following the words and example of Jesus, we keep our lamps lit. We stay ready, so that we can be light for the world both now and in that moment of maximum darkness that is to come. We don't know when it will happen. We don't know what it will be, but we do know that we serve a God who's trustworthy. Our God will transform us into the image of Jesus as we show his love to the world. So I say, as someone who's been tempted to despair in the last few weeks, don't despair. Don't give in to fear. Don't get sucked into the cycle of violence and propaganda. Everything we read right now has a side. Center yourself in Jesus and in this community, even as the hurricane rages. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake.